Good morning, church. It's good to have you all with us today. Once again, streaming through Facebook Live, we're glad that you're able to join us. For those that are visitors, we hope that you enjoy your time with us today, maybe learn something that you didn't know before. And for those of our members, we're glad that you're able to at least meet together in this way. We want to thank Gary for communion meditation and for the Sunday school class again today. Looking at the IMs of Jesus is one of those good basic principles that we all need to get back to and to remember who Jesus is in our life. We are in the book of Obadiah today. And so I want for you to turn there. Might have trouble finding it. It's a pretty small book. But in the Old Testament, a minor prophet. We'll be getting there shortly. I want to start off by telling you a little story about an elderly man that moved into a retirement community. It wasn't long until he'd made a number of friends among the other residents at the home. And there was one lady that he was especially fond of and grew attracted to, and she was attracted to him also. They spent a lot of their time together, and as they got to know each other, finally one evening the elderly gentleman decided he was going to propose to this woman and ask her to marry him. So he did. The next morning when he woke up, remembering the proposal, and he remembered asking her, but he could not remember what her answer was. So he finally worked up enough courage that day to go and talk to her and said, "I'm really embarrassed to admit this, but I know that I proposed to you last night, and I can't remember if you said yes or if you said no." "Oh, thank goodness," the elderly woman replied. She says, "You know, I remember answering yes to someone last night, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember who it was that asked me." And so she cured all his concerns with that answer. You know, sometimes we do the same thing. We do things that are similar, and we say to ourselves, "Why did I do that?" How many times have you asked a child, "Why did you do that?" And usually, whether we're asking that question to ourselves or we're asking that question to a child, it usually results in the same answer. "You know, I don't know why I did that." And Obadiah, I'm going to say chapter 1. There's only one chapter in the book of Obadiah. But Obadiah chapter 1, verse 15 says this: "For the day of the Lord draws near on all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you, and your dealings will return on your own head." The book of Obadiah can be found in what is called the Minor Prophets of the Old Testament. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Bible, with just 21 verses, beating out the book of Jude in the New Testament by just a few verses. It has 24 verses. But Obadiah is a message about the brother of Isaac. Well, who would that be? About the brothers of Isaac, excuse me, the brothers of Isaac, would his sons. So who would that be? Isaac would be that would be the descendants of Jacob, of Israel, and the descendants of Esau. Remember the twin boys born to Isaac and Rebekah in Genesis chapter 25? Ultimately, the two brothers put their disputing behind them, but as we see time going on, their families did not. Edom was the nation of people that came from Esau. They had many chances to help Israel through the years, but decided to take advantage and abuse them rather than to be of help. So the main idea of Obadiah writing is very much different than his contemporaries. Where all the other prophets during Obadiah's time preached a message of repentance, Obadiah preaches a message of judgment. In this book, and even more specifically in our text, we see the phrase, the day of the Lord. Now this is in reference to judgment coming down, the gavel being dropped, the hammer coming down hard on the people. Whether that be the judging of an individual, whether that is a group, or even a nation, we see this phrase, the day of the Lord, used in the books of Isaiah, of Jeremiah, of the prophets of Joel and Amos, and even Ezekiel, just to name a few. Usually this is in reference to a sifting out before the final day of judgment. But what we'll focus on from Obadiah here today, and what he wants for us to learn, is that we must take note to how we treat others and how that affects then how we will be treated in return. There are going to be three things that I want for us to learn from this. The first one is that we need to remember the past. We're remembering the past. You know, some people, all they do is remember the past. They remember the good old days or the glory days or how great it was. Sometimes even people remember how bad it was. Well, boy, I sure wouldn't go back there. They focus on the past. But remember, the past is just that. It is past. It is gone behind us. We might need to learn from it, but be so careful if you fall in love with it. I'm pretty sure that most of you remember the story of Cain and Abel clear back in Genesis chapter 4. Cain asked God a very important question. And after God had asked Cain where Abel was, because Cain had killed him, Abel then asked God that question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Remember then, this is where God placed a mark on a mark or a sign on Cain. And that's a big discussion in itself if you get into that. He placed that mark on him so that no one would kill him. Well, why would somebody want to kill him? Because of the way he treated his brother. That's why. The book of Obadiah is an example of what we could expect happen if we do not treat our brethren as we should. The nation of Edom refused to help their brotherly nation of Israel. They had many, many times throughout history where they could have helped them. And instead, they decided to treat them with hatred and contempt. So the answer to the question, am I my brother's keeper? It must always be, I am my brother's brother. We need to look at it that way, that we are connected through the blood of Jesus Christ. As we then move on of remembering the past, it's always good to be recognizing the present. Recognizing the present. The problem that we do learn about the nation of Edom is that they were what we would call today modern day bullies. During the time of Obadiah, the Edomites dwelled along the cliffs and the mountaintops of the area south of the Dead Sea. Their land was not very suitable for growing crops, so the Edomites made their living supporting and controlling the main caravan route between Egypt and Babylon that passed through their entire homeland. Edom was held in low regard because of their renegade lifestyle. Israel didn't look at them as ones that went out and earned their keep. They just stole from everybody else. They were bullies. Obadiah said that the high elevation of living in the cliffs. He's kind of using a play on words where he says, you living in your high places, the high points of the cliffs, living in the mountaintops, had gone to their head. It had puffed them up in pride. They thought that they were better and elevated among everyone else. Obadiah gives them some sobering words to consider in Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. When Nebuchadnezzar II entered Jerusalem in about 597 BC and hauled the king of Judah away, Nebuchadnezzar installed a puppet ruler, one that he could control. The Edomites helped the Babylonians then to loot the city. Obadiah, writing of this prophecy about 590 BC, suggests that the Edomites should have remembered that blood was thicker than water. Once again, their physical blood and their family member was supposed to be thicker than that of any other relationship that they would form with anybody else. Obadiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 13 says, and on that day that they stood aloof, on the day the strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gate and cast lots for Jerusalem, you too were as one of them. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their disaster. Yes, you do not gloat over the calamity in their disaster and do not loot their wealth in the day of their disaster. Obadiah said that God would wipe out the house of Esau forever, and that not even a remnant would remain if they didn't change their ways. The Edomites' land would be possessed ultimately by Egypt one day, and they would cease to exist of being a people. The day of the Lord was at hand for all nations, and the day of the Lord will be upon the world at one time. Use this example and treat one another kindly. That's what he wants for us to do. He wants for us to realize, recognizing the present situation that we are in, that we are given warnings throughout our life, that we are given warnings by the Lord, and he expects for us to take those warnings to heart. But not only should we remember the past, not only should they recognize the present, it is good for us as well to realize the future. Realizing the future. There are some people who fear and dislike the future. And most of the time, that's simply because they are basing their future on their past. We shouldn't base our future on our past. If we do, then we are people that will be most pitied and most miserable. We don't base our future on our past. We base our future on what Jesus Christ has done. Realizing the future. But they had a hard time of doing this. This would plague the Edomites. It would plague the nation of Israel even for years and years to come. This would still be a lesson that even the Jews of Jesus' day would not learn all too quickly. Some 600 years plus after this warning by Obadiah, Jesus was still preaching the same message. He was preaching this message for his followers and for their relationships with one another. Jesus Christ himself in the Sermon on the Mount, which covers just about every facet of communication and lifestyle living that we have with each other. In that Sermon on the Mount, those three chapters, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus preaches on this same subject. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 12, it says this, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law of the prophets. Now, Jesus is telling the people of his day this. This is something that the prophet Obadiah tried to tell the Edomites years and years ago. Like we said, some 600 years prior to this. That if you want to be treated good, then you treat others good. If you treat others poorly, if you abuse them, if you mistreat them, that will definitely affect your relationship as well. And he says that this is the law and the prophets. What Jesus is saying is that everything that his followers base their belief on, what we've got to do is we've got to go back 2,000 years ago. We've got to go back to what Jesus lived by. We've got to go back to what Jesus taught on, and that is the law and the prophets. Everything that the law was taught, that would be the first five books of the Old Testament, and then all of the prophets. Those are what the people of Jesus' day were being taught. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, this would be from the law, it says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." This is just one of many texts in the law that references how they need to treat one another, and then how you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But not only that, we also can read in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. This is now a portion of the prophets, and he is not the only prophet that teaches this. He is just one of many of the sayings from the prophets that come about how we should treat one another. But it says this: "Learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." Sounds like we need to be reaching out to people that are in need. And then he says this in verse 18: "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord." The Lord's telling us that if we just use common sense, that if we just use the law and the prophets as a guideline and a basis for how we would live our life, then we should reason together and come to this common knowledge. He says, "Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." Jesus refers back, as we said in the Sermon on the Mount, to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. You see, the law and the prophets all teach the same thing. And guess what? That's exactly what Jesus taught, was the law and the prophets, and how we should apply that to our life. And now the things that Jesus teaches, yes, is the law and is the prophets, but it's what Jesus taught. It's what Jesus believed. On another occasion, Jesus has a similar discussion with another group of people about this same matter. We find this in Mark chapter 12, and we get a little bit more detail than what Jesus preaches on in Matthew chapter 7. But in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34, it goes like this: "One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, 'What commandment is the foremost of all?' And Jesus answered, 'The foremost is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'" We see several passages that start off that way in the Old Testament, specifically Deuteronomy chapter 6. We also see that phrase. And then it goes on in verse 30 and it says this: "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." But Jesus doesn't stop there. And he says, the second is like this: "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Verse 34, or as it finishes that up, it is much more than burnt offerings and sacrifice. "And when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, 'For you are not far from the kingdom of God.' and that no, and after that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. The scribe notices something, what Jesus said, that many Christians do not. As Jesus talked about the burnt offerings and all the sacrifices in the world that were given up, he says that those do not matter if you do not love the Lord. And those do not matter if you do not love people as you love yourself. Now, as Gary had shared during the communion meditation, that Passover lamb, the sacrifice and the burnt offering that was mentioned there, that was something that the people understood. They would understand having to take sacrifices to the altar, offering up burnt offerings. But Jesus is letting them know, and the scribe realizes here, that no matter how many sacrifices or offerings are offered up, that if you do not love the Lord, it's just like people today. They may put money in the offering plate, but if you don't do it with the right attitude and loving the Lord, then it's in vain. And as well as you need to love others as you love yourself. And if you do that in the wrong manner, then you are doing that in vain as well. Your gifts and your offerings, your sacrifice. Oh, how the words of Isaiah should still ring true in our ears today. Remember back to what he had made mention of as we read earlier, when Isaiah says, "Come now, let us reason together." Just stop and imagine what would have happened if the Edomites would have come down off of their lofty homes, their high living in the mountaintops, and come down and reasoned with the nation of Israel, the many opportunities that they had, let alone how they dealt harshly with everyone else. But if they would just come down and say, "Now let us reason together." How many times have we all heard it said that when we have arguments among each other, it was usually because of a simple misunderstanding? And all of it gets figured out when we just sit down and we say, "Now let's reason together." As the prophet said, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow." You know, only Jesus can make that happen. Only Jesus is the one that can help you. And he will help you. He will help us. He will help me. And what do we need help with? Some of us need more help than others when it comes to this. But it's in loving people as much as we love the Lord. I've heard people say, I've even said it myself, "Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord." But then we don't treat people the way that they should be treated. And we treat people terrible at times. We're no more than just big old bullies, as Edom was. We need to stop and consider that how we love the Lord is reflected on how we love people. You know, the Edomites should have figured that out. Cain should have figured that out. And by all means, we too should probably figure that out. You know, just as we had our little joke or our little story about the elderly man and the woman at the beginning going to ask someone to marry you, you know, you better get it figured out. You better make sure you get it figured out. Because how we treat others and how we respond to others, especially those that our brothers and sisters in Christ will definitely affect where we will spend eternity. Our prayer needs to be that if we are ever asked about our brethren, just as Cain was, that we could answer in the affirmative with a resounding yes. Am I my brother's keeper? And do I love him as much as I love the Lord? And we pray that we do this morning. You know, there's a plan of salvation that's given to us, that the Lord has given to us because he loves us. When we become obedient to this plan of salvation, then it is our responsibility to share it with others. Because he loved us, we love others. We love others so that they'll love him. Starts off with the plan of salvation where Jesus tells us that we need to believe. John chapter 8 and verse 24 says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." We also know that we need to repent. Scripture tells us that we need to repent, that if we don't repent, that we will perish. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus was telling a story there in Luke chapter 13 about things going on in that day and how a wall had fell on some people and they perished, they died. And he says, you know what? We're all going to die. But unless you repent, we're going to die with no hope. We'll perish. We need to repent for the sins that we have committed against our Lord and Savior. That we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Matthew 10:32 says, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." That we need to be immersed into Jesus Christ. That we need to be baptized. That we have our sins washed away. Jesus says this in Mark 16:16, that he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieved shall be condemned. And then we need to be faithful. Live our life as best and faithfully as we can for the Lord. That means loving others as much as we love Jesus. Be faithful unto death, and then I will give you the crown of life. Do you ever wonder, not sure how much Jesus loves us? He loves us enough that he died for us on the cross at Calvary. No greater love is this than a man would lay down his life for his friends. The Edomites didn't feel that way. Cain didn't feel that way. But I pray that today the church would feel that way. We thank you for stopping and joining with us today, worshiping with us, singing songs, meeting around the Lord's table, and sharing a message from God's Word. As we close out, if you can find it in your heart to help support the ministry at the Heartland Church of Christ, we ask that you would do so. The address is 17108 State Road 37. You can make checks out to the Heartland Church of Christ. Tithes and offerings can be given, where we make it our mission to seek the lost, to send the light, and to serve the Lord. Will you go to the Lord with me in a word of prayer as we close out this morning? Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the examples that we can learn from the Old Testament, that we would learn from the book of Obadiah, that we learn the lesson from the Edomites, that we would not abuse and mistreat our fellow man, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we would set the example that Jesus had for his love and his compassion and his caringness for all of mankind. He left the glory and the splendor of heaven to come to this earth so that he could save us all. May we be the light into the world. May we reflect Jesus Christ to the light of those in the world so that they will see that they need Jesus, that we will bring all men to him as he was lifted up. We just thank you so much, Lord, for your patience with us. We just pray that we would heed the advice found in Obadiah, that we would be kind, compassionate, and not mistreat others in our daily living. May we be more like you. Forgive us where we fail and fall short, and help us in our daily walk with Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.